This passage, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not, verse 5 says, bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughters, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12, this is our text today, church. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I want to preach verse 12 this morning. Will you say it out loud with me, church, just to get it in your mind and heart? Let's read verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you to bless in these next moments together. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live according to your word. My Lord, how we need you today. Save souls today. Reclaim the backslider, whatever the need may be. I pray that you meet that. Help us today, God. We need you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All of God's people said. I want to read what the old preacher said about the law when we think about the law. Why would Brother Dallas, a Baptist preacher, in 2018 preach a series on the Ten Commandments? That's surely not applicable to today, is it? Well, the Bible said, or this old preacher said this, and I think the Bible says a lot about it. He says this, I do not believe that any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. You hear people say, is he a gospel preacher? Who does not preach the law? The law is the needle. Now listen, I love this statement. And this is one of the reasons why I have been preaching this series on the Ten Commandments. The law is the needle, and you cannot draw the silken thread of the gospel through a man's heart unless you first send the needle of the law to make way for it. If men do not understand the law, they will not feel that they are sinners. And if they are not consciously sinners, they will never value the sin offering. There is no healing a man till the law has wounded him, no making him alive until the law has slain him. I love that statement. That is so true. And that's just a biblically accurate statement. And when we preach the law, we talk about the Word of God this morning. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You'll never be saved. What are you being saved from? Why do you go to hell? Why does a person have judgment upon them? The reason is because the Bible says we've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. We are, the Bible says in Romans, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are righteous. No, not one. But the Bible says we have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? Jesus fulfilled the law. And so when we look at the law, it shows us who we are. We are reminded, it's written upon our hearts. We are reminded from the Word of God who just exactly we are and what we need. We are lawbreakers in need of someone to purchase our redemption. And we've been ransomed. I thank God this morning that Jesus Christ paid it all. I preached yesterday, a dear lady's funeral, got saved when she's 11 years old. I thank God that she could get saved. I thank God that the Lord saves you from an eternal hell because His Son died for us. Amen. And so when we look at the law this morning, we talk about these Ten Commandments. We come here now to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, it's easy. Well, I've done that. I'm already too old, or I don't have children. Or it's easy to kind of dismiss this. But I want to dwell on this. I want you to focus on this because I think this is a lot more important than we realize. In fact, I want to give you three thoughts today. By way of introduction, I want you to think where it says this. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, it does not say that every mom and dad's perfect. It doesn't say that you have to obey everything. If your mom and dad tell you to go rob a bank, it's not saying to do that, but it says to honor. Now, what does that word honor mean? That honor means to give weight or to give heaviness. We kind of say it today in our modern vernacular. We'll say, I have a ton of respect for that guy. You hear somebody say that? I've got a ton of respect for them. What they mean is I honor their opinion. I honor them. I've always thought, I always thought the world of them. What I mean by that is the weight of the world. I thought so much of them. I thought the world. I thought something heavy. I give them honor. I was so excited. One of my Bible college professors, we were able to go get the Bibles for our Bible Readers Banquet. By the way, mark it down. Try to be there next year. Read through your Bible. Read through your New Testament or your Old Testament. But I found a book, a very rare book, and it was a man that I had in college. And he had such an influence on my life. I'm 50 years old. I stood there and I had those men with me. And I didn't want to be a big baby. I almost started crying because I had such honor for this man. That when I found that book, I said, I don't care what this costs, I'm buying this book because I just have such a respect and honor for him, what the Lord used in my life. Now, Bible says that you and I ought to honor our father and our mother. It's very clear. Now, when we look at this, you say, why is this such a big deal? Now, I'm going to give you three things. Number one, let me say this. I want you to write this down. I want you to get this. The Lord helped me with this myself. And if you're here today and you've got young children, you really need to listen to this. Now, I'm going to share a few things that may sting a little bit. Because the law has a sting and a needle prick to it. And when you read this, all of us, hey, listen, churches, let me just say this in case some of you get ready to fall asleep. A lot of what our trouble is in our society and in our culture and in our churches and in our families come very simply because of this one commandment. It is a powerful thing. In fact, write this down. Number one, this law here, this commandment to honor your father and mother is the foundation of life. It is the foundation of our lives. In fact, let me say this to you. It is believed by most Bible scholars, when you think about the two stones, the two tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments, it is believed that this was the first commandment on the second stone. When we think about the commandment and the law, the first four are between God and man, and the last six are between man and man. I hear people say, it don't matter what I do to others. It just always me and God are all right. That's not true. If you read your Bible, you'll see that not only does God want you to be right with Him, He also wants you to be right with your fellow man. There is no religion on this planet that teaches getting along and loving your fellow man like Christianity does. It is one of the tenets, one of the things that we basically believe. Now, let me just say this before some of you tune me out. You may have different backgrounds. You may have had broken homes. We live in a culture now. I are one. I know what that means. And so I'm not here to try to act like if you've messed up or you come up differently. We're not talking about some leave it to Beaver thing. We're talking about the Word of God, what the Word of God says about honoring your father and mother. But number one, let me say this to you. It is the foundation of life. Now you think about, when you think about giving weight to your mom and dad, honoring them. You say, how's that the foundation of life? Foundation. I want you to think about this. When we think about the weight of our parents, it has a pull. I start thinking about an anchor or a pull that your parents had. From the time that you're a child. Now, we know that the world says this ain't a big deal. God says it is a big deal. The world says family can be whatever. The world says LGBTQAI, whatever it is now. But God says no, it's one man, one woman for one life. Now, I know, look, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And it's clear. And when that started to break down, and historically we could talk about when it broke down, we start talking about all kinds of things of why and when and where in our modern America and modern Western culture. We can talk about all that. But when we start thinking about the foundation of life, why is this such a big deal? I want you to think about your parents and the influence from the time you were a child. I want you to think about that foundation this morning. It has a weight. It pulls our actions. I was thinking, even I was meditating on this sermon last night, and I was thinking about it in my life, how many times I could just still hear my mom say, look both ways before you cross the road. I still hear her voice. I don't know if y'all are like that or not. I still hear my papa getting on to me. Every time I get a little aggravated or mad, I hear their voice. I hear the pull and the weight of my parents and the way I was raised in my heart and in my mind. Let me say something to you. Everybody has that because God's word says that's the way it is. There is a weight to honor. Now, you can dishonor them, but if you honor them, you hear them, you listen to them, you heed them. I think about it pulls our actions. It pulls our attitudes. You ever seen somebody that has a bad attitude? Have you ever been around somebody that has a bad attitude? Smarty pants. You might know what smarty pants is? Smart aleck. You might know what I'm talking about? Mark it down. Show me the mom and dad. Show me the mom and dad. I was in the prison ministry. Talk to those men. Mark it down. Ask them about their home life. You see some kid out doing something? Ask them. Ask them. In fact, you'll see some girl going wild in life. You know what boys will say? She's got daddy issues. We talk about moms and dads. Moms and dads have such an influence in the home and in the basic fundamental unit of society. We have problems in our society because we have problems in our home. We have problems in our home because we have problems with moms and dads and their children. And God says right here to honor your mother and your dad because of your actions, because of your attitude, because of your attention. I want to share something with you I come across. This is not original to me. Now, this is going to sting a little bit, but I think you ought to hand this paper out to everybody that has a newborn baby. As soon as you have a baby, you ought to be required to have this handed to you when you leave the hospital. I want to read this to you because I think when you hear this, most of you said, well, praise the Lord, Brother Dallas. I just saw that the other day. I was around this, or my family may need. Hey, you may have somebody close to you. Now, look, we're talking about honoring your father and your mother. It's 12 easy rules to raise a delinquent. 12 easy rules to raise a delinquent. Some of you that are older, you remember a time when children would never act the way they act today. Now, don't be too hard on the kids because guess whose fault it is? Yours. You didn't tell your kids how to raise them. And so now they've raised a bunch of delinquents. We are living in a world of delinquency. That's the reason. Hey, I saw there a few years ago when I was marching in Baltimore. I saw some mom grab some boy by the back of his hoodie and was giving him down the road. I thought, there's a boy that's got a chance in life because his mom wouldn't let him do that. Let me give you 12 ways. Now, Mark, I'll give you this list if you want. I'll make a copy of it for you. 12 easy rules to raise a delinquent. Now, some of y'all, you already raised them. But you know a family member, you know a friend, you know a neighbor, hey, you know a coworker, you know somebody, hey, you need it in your own life and mine. You may have a grandbaby that you have to raise or a niece or a nephew. Listen to this. Begin at infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Now, are we not living in that time or not? Number two, when he picks up bad language, laugh at him. This will make him think he's cute. That's amazing in Southern West Virginia culture how many parents think it's cute for your kids to cuss. It won't be cute when she's about 17. Hey, man! Number three, never give him any spiritual training. And wait till he's 21 and then have him, quote, decide for himself. You won't let him brush your teeth and decide. You won't let him put on a coat and decide. But I'm not going to take him to church and train him in the Lord. I'll let him decide for himself. That is the craziest, messed up thing. You know what that is? That's from the pits of hell. Satan standing up on the sidelines. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I needed all the help I could get. Thank you. Number four, again, don't y'all get mad. This ain't risen with me. I needed this in my life. Avoid the use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and that he is being persecuted. We have ball players in America that are tremendous athletes and they say, I'm really going through a hard time. And I'm going, no, you're not going through. I scream at the TV. Anybody ever scream at TV? I said, you're not going through a hard time. You need to keep your hands off girls. I'm really being persecuted. You're not being persecuted. Get in the library, open a book, and get your good grades up. Amen? It's unbelievable to me. Y'all, this is going to get worse if y'all have a hard time now. We're talking about raising a delinquent. Pick up everything he leaves lying around. Books, shoes, clothes. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Number six, let him read any printed matter that he gets his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. And we could say lock him in his room and let him watch YouTube and play video games 24/7. That would be the common modern thing. Number seven, quarrel frequently, mom and dad, in the presence of your children. In this, they'll not be too shocked when the home is broken up later. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you had them? Number nine, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort so that every sensual desire is gratified. Denial may lead to harmful frustration. We've gotten a culture now where denial is the worst thing in the world. You cannot deny. Let me say something to you. The best thing that ever happened to you is somebody told you no. Denial is a basic Christian thing. There's some things that are off limits in your life, and they ought to be, and God said that. Who does that? Mom and dad. No, honey, you can't. Hey, I was telling somebody the other day, I was a little boy, I like sugar. Anybody like sugar? I've seen some of y'all like sweets. I would take a spoon and go to the sugar bowl. My mama had a sugar bowl, put the coffee, and I would want to eat the sugar right off the spoon. And I was told, I was told, no. I thought, well, y'all using it. But they said, well, you got to at least put it in something. You can't just sit there and eat it off a spoon. But I was told, no. Now, why was that? Because, honey, look, they was being, is that really that hard on you? No, that ain't very hard. That's all you got in trouble for. That's pretty good. But what it was is it's telling you no. Sometimes it's the best thing in the world. They knew, man, you're already going to have a hard time keeping your teeth. You're going to really rot them out. And so whatever it may be, some of that's just practical things. And our parents told us these things. Here's number 10. Listen to this. This one is big. And I've run into this. Many of you ran into this. If you've ever dealt with anybody in a leadership position, take his side against neighbors. Take his side against teachers and other authority figures. After all, they are prejudiced against your child. Now, that is convicting. When he gets into real trouble, number 11, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him. And then number 12, prepare yourself for a life of grief. You'll be likely to have it. I read that, and of course, this is not original with me, and I thought, man, everybody, and we've all, hey, let's just be truthful, church, this morning. About everybody in this building has made one or two or five or ten of these mistakes. And you look back and say, you know what, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I wish I hadn't done this. Let me say something to you. We're wondering what's going on in our culture. We want to blame Hollywood. We want to blame Washington. We want to blame whatever. We got to start looking at the Word of God and say, you know what, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to get my home. I need to get my marriage. I need to get my family right before you. I need to honor my mom and dad. It's very, very simple. Some of the greatest heroes and some of the most famous people that you know of, when you talk to them about or read about them and hear their story of their parents and the influence that their parents had on them, it is unbelievable. Success and honoring your mom and dad go hand in hand. And spiritually speaking, it's phenomenal. Think about Noah. The Bible says, we study in 2 Peter, the Bible says the eighth man. Think about this. He got his children and their spouses on the ark. What an influence he had over his children. They honored their mom and their dad. Most of us today, when somebody honors your mom and dad, we pass out because it's so rare.
We wonder what's going on in America. We've gotten away from honoring our parents. We look at this honoring mom and dad. I'm not getting it across as wonderful it is in the Word of God, but it is the foundation of life. Think about it. You men that are businessmen, would you want to hire somebody? Or business ladies, if you're a business person, would you want to hire somebody that can't even honor their mom and dad? Would you want a pastor that doesn't honor his mom and dad? Do you want your child to marry a spouse who cannot honor their parents? Do you want somebody that can't say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, or yes, sir, or no, sir, or say, well, I'm gonna listen to my parents? I don't know about you. The people that I get along with the best are folks who are influenced and listen to their, especially their godly parents. We have diminished that. We make that's not that a big deal. Now, let me say, you say, well, my parents are not what they should be. Remember this now. The Bible says he is a father to the fatherless. You may have different backgrounds. You may have different home lives. The Bible tells us he is a father to the fathers. I've read several messages about this. And some of the old Puritan messages about this talk about listening to our heavenly Father and honoring our heavenly Father. Whole sermons about listening to the Father above. Many of us have been raised by our heavenly Father. And thank God for that. But it is the foundation of life. It is the foundation of life. We think about our prisons. We think about people that work. You go on some of the basic responsibilities of life. You know what real manhood is? I heard somebody give a definition of manhood. Responsibility. Being responsible. Where do we get responsibility from? Mom and dad. Who instituted that? The Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. It is our duty, parents, to raise our children. We've got this thing out of kilter. I could go on. I don't want to be too harsh on everybody because we're all in the same boat. But let me say something to you. Honoring your father and mother is the foundation of our society. And I believe with all my heart of all these commandments, one thing that's really hurting us, bedrock in our society, is because in our culture, and by the way, not just everywhere else, I'm talking about right here in Summers and Mercer County, in your street and your holler, wherever it is you live, is because we have gotten away from honoring father and mother. You ever seen a kid that maybe got in trouble at school and you knew when you got home what was going to happen to you? Mom and dad, it didn't matter what happened at school. I was never a debate. Many of you had never a debate. You got home, mom and dad said, well, I don't care what they said. You ain't supposed to act like that. You ain't going to act like that because I said you ain't going to act like that. And the people that acted right, they honored their father and their mother. And many, by the way, some folks are still honoring their father and mother, and mom and dad's been gone. They've already went on. They've been gone for years. And that you are still honoring your mom and dad. I watched several years ago, I watched a documentary about Jerry West, one of the greatest basketball players. He's the NBA logo. He stood there in that documentary, if I remember correctly, he started tearing up. And he said this, he said, I always wanted to please that man. He's talking about his dad. That dad pushed him. Michael Jordan, I could go on and on. I could be here all day. Hey, I've watched, there's a documentary out right now about Elvis Presley. Y'all ever heard of Elvis Presley? And talking about he loved, Priscilla Presley said in the middle of the night, in the height of his fame, said he in the middle of the night, he'd get up and go downstairs on his piano at Graceland. And said he always played one type of music every single time. And it was gospel. And in this documentary, they were interviewing, and they said, well, we just don't understand why he had such an affinity for gospel music when he's the king of rock and roll. He really created a genre. Why was that? And I sit there, I'm thinking, I know exactly why. This is an easy call. And the reason why is because his mama loved it. One of his favorite songs and one of his biggest selling songs was because of his mama. You see, he loved his mama. His mama had a pull in his life. They said, well, brother, man, he ended up, yes, he did. But if you watch his life, you know anything about his life, it had a pull in his life. I can go on and on. That doesn't mean they always honored him. That doesn't mean they always did the right thing. But that is the foundation. That is the foundation. Secondly, you take your Bible and turn to Luke 15 this morning. Luke 15. I want you to notice with me, not only is the foundation of life, but did you know that honoring your parents is where freedom comes from? The freedom of life? Luke chapter 15. Starting at verse 11. Now this is a powerful thing. You know, the devil don't want this preached. Sorry, Luke chapter 15. Y'all know this message. A certain man had two sons. You ever read this before? The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." And he delivered unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. We know this dealt with the story of the prodigal son in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And then, verse 17, when he come to himself, by the way, that's a whole message right there. When he come to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came, verse 20, to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us see. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now I want you to understand something, church, this morning. This prodigal son, I want you to go back. Look at verse 12 with me, would you? It says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Now, I get this morning now. We talk about the foundation of life, but did you know honoring your father and mother is where freedom comes from? I want you to see the picture here. Here's what he did. And sometimes we read the Bible, we don't grasp some things. And I recently come across my priest on this, and man, it helped me. He said this, "I wish you were dead." That's what he said to his dad. You see what he said? He said, "Give me what falls to me." You know what he's saying? "I want my inheritance, but I want it now." He's saying to his dad, his father. And in that culture, I don't think we even understand what a big thing this is. Still a big thing. But he says, "I wish." That's just what he's saying. What we'd say today. "I wish you were dead." Man. Wow. "Wish your dad was dead?" What he's saying. He says, "Give me what falls to me. I want what is coming to me from you. I could care less about you. I want what you have, and then I'm leaving. I wish you were dead." Satan loves it when a young person looks at their parents in that way. Now listen, parents, I could preach a whole message on provoke not your children to wrath. We could talk about a lot of that today. But here's what, don't you get the picture here? I want to have all the freedom. I don't want to have your rules. I don't want to listen to these mundane, I got to be in bed at a certain time, I got to be home at a certain time, I got to make my bed, or whatever rules it was that he had, and we're not really told about that. But I want my own life. The Bible says he went out and wasted his substance with righteous living. And then he becomes basically a slave, one of the lowest things in Jewish society. He looks down, he says, he was down with the swine. And he looks and says, "Man, my dad's servant lived better than this. And I'll go back. I'll just throw myself at his mercy. I'll just see if I can't get something there." And boy, his father shows the mercy of God, I believe. But here's the thing, church. We think about honoring your father and mother. He had freedom with his dad. You see, he could got it, but we can put it in modern vernacular. Instead of, I think of Tim Lee, the evangelist that said he got tired of his preacher dad having all these rules. He said, "I got tired of listening to the rules, so I went and joined the Marines." Makes no sense, does it? Tired of rules. I got tired of being told what to do, so I get and talk. Will they really tell you what to do? I can just picture in my mind the young man, many of the men that I have met over the years, and they got tired. "I don't want my mom to tell me what to do. I want my dad to tell me. I'm not going to honor my mom and dad, so I'm going to do what I want to do. I have real freedom. I can go and I can come and I can do and I can this." And then they maybe one night get with the wrong crowd, they find themselves in a bad situation, and they end up in a place called jail or prison, where they're in about a 12 by 13 cells, if they're lucky, sometimes 23 hours a day on lockdown, no freedom, can't go down to the ball court, they can't go to Walmart, they can't go get some gas, they can't go to the riverbank, they can't go out and mow their yard, they can't go on a day on Friday night, they can't go to church on Sunday, they can't, I can keep going, they can't go to the state fair in August, they can't get together and go on a camping trip, they can't get in a car, just ride to California, they can't get on an airplane and go to Europe or go on a vacation, they can't have grandchildren and children and family reunions, and on and on and on, I can go, all the freedom that we enjoy and take for granted. That man can't take that because he didn't want the free. He wanted the freedom of the world and not the freedom that God guarantees under authority. See, we forget how much freedom we really have under authority. See, because there's authority in our lives, there's freedom. Because there's authority. Heard about the little chihuahua and the big old bulldogs coming down the road. That chihuahua comes over and he's just barking at that big old chihuahua, boy, the big bulldog, he can eat that big old bulldog up because he was behind a fence. See, that fence gave a barrier that the big old mean bulldog, he couldn't come in there and get it. I always think of Tom and Jerry. Remember that bulldog? And that chihuahua, I'm gonna kick. Of course, you know a chihuahua eats you up anyway, amen? But as long as that fence was there, he was tough. He says, as long as we have freedom within structure. I thank God for freedom, don't you? See, I thank God. I remember I went and visited a man I grew up with that killed a lady. I remember I went over to the Southern Reader Jail and saw him. I remember sewing that day. One of them sons was real pretty, it's not ugly, it's coming down, and you know, it's not going to really stick, that type of stuff. And I come up, I remember that son hit me on the face. I said, Lord, thank you. Wasn't he think I was better than him? But I remember as a boy, my mama saying, don't you hang around that boy. In private, she wouldn't tell everybody. She kind of liked him. He was smart. He was nice to her. He said, but I don't want you hanging around him. And I remember, I said, won't you go with us? I can hear my mama, hang around him. But be careful. They need to honor your father and your mother. I could go across this building many times. Your mom and dad, you listen to mom and dad. You listen to a parent or a father figure, a parent figure in your life. Hey, I've had to do that. Hey, I've tried to help a lot of young people because I could tell their mom and dad never told them. I mean, they never told them. I mean, listen, basic things. Hey, I see today we've got parents who don't even tell their kids how to put on deodorant. I mean, really, y'all been around an eighth grader? Is it one of the most beautiful things? Pack soap in an eighth grader's bag when he goes to camp. It's a waste. But you know, I'm shocked. Man, they need to learn. I remember my mom stayed on me. She like a drill sergeant, brush your teeth. Amen. Clean behind your ears. They throw a wash rag at us and said, we know you boys didn't get behind your ears. You see what I mean? That's just practical things. Where did I come from? Parents. I could always tell if a boy didn't have a mom and dad at home because he'd come to school without the back of his head toned down. He either don't have a mirror or don't have a mom and dad. My mom said, get back in the house. What's wrong with you? Some of those basic things. Hey, and by the way, it becomes bigger than that. It becomes bigger than that. It becomes a big deal. That freedom of life and then the fulfillment of life. Our whole society. Our whole society. Man, what happened? Man, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to dishonor my parents. I don't want to dishonor my name. I know I start saying that stuff today. I feel like I'm talking to the wall. People are like, what are you talking about? Our whole society today. Hey, do you think that those men that went and fought in the wars for us and bled and died for America to have its freedom, do you think that some of them, they ain't never been to Hollywood? They never been to Washington, D.C.? They went and fought for their people. They went and fought for their mom and dad. I'm going to tell you what a lot of those men did. They sent the money to the government. They sent it back home to the family farm. And they made it out and said, here, let my mom and dad cash it. I know men that literally did that. Let my mom and dad cash it so that we can have more money back home, even though I'm fighting on a foreign land. I want my mama and my daddy to have that. Some of the greatest people that ever walked this planet have honored their mom and their dad. You read the book of Proverbs, it talks about listening to the instruction of your father and the instruction of your mother. In Proverbs chapter 31, it talks about a blessed woman, a woman that her price is far above rubies. And if you listen to that, it's talking about her investing her life into her children. It is an amazing passage of scripture about how a woman is supposed to live her life. We need that in our culture. We don't need to get rid of it. We need more of it. Instead, we almost scoff at, well, I'm just, that's not really for me. Really, decency? I mean, love and decency, some of the basic things that you and I love is because this is a fulfillment of life, our family, our churches. I can tell you this morning, church, our churches are hurting because we've gotten away from the basic thing of honor. How are you going to honor your pastor when you can't honor your mom and dad? Why are you going to listen to the policeman when you can't listen to your mom and dad? You can tell the difference. I've been around kids, as soon as a policeman comes, oh, and they'll have some derogatory name for it. You know what I was taught? Many of you were taught with policemen? Yes, sir. No, sir. They tell you to do something, you say, yes, I'll do it. Yes, sir. Hey, if a principal comes and talks to you, hey, I was taught to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and Mr. and Mrs. Many of you are taught the same thing. Why? It's common decency. And what, by the way, some of this is not even God. I think sometimes we try to teach without having God in it. That's why we've made a mistake. But let me say something to you. It is the fulfillment of life. How many of you all that have children? I've seen somebody have a new child, little baby, and they want that little baby to grow up and serve God. I mean, that's what you, don't you really, if you don't want that, something wrong. Now, there's something wrong if you'd rather be rich than go to heaven with the Lord. Something wrong. Something really bad wrong. Something really, really, really bad wrong. That's what you care about. Hey, listen. One of the greatest fulfillments is to say, hey, my children know the Lord. My children follow Christ. My children are serving God. They are honoring my life and honoring my legacy by serving God, the God that I love and the God that I serve. Many of you were brought to church by who? Your mama and your daddy. Some of them, before you even knew you was on this earth, you was in a little old crib. You didn't even know your name. You couldn't even hardly eat anything but applesauce. But mom and daddy brought you to church, or they prayed over you. I could go on and on this morning. It is the fulfillment of life. There's nothing greater. You read the Word of God. The Bible says, blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. If you read the accounts in the Word of God of families, read the book of Genesis, you'll see families. Read the Word of God, you'll see where God blesses. Here we see the picture in Luke 15 of a father and a son. Our Savior taught about that. Now, four things real quickly in about 1 minute. The greatest way to honor them. Number one, love them. Just love them. That's a big deal, ain't it? Everybody, oh, there's more to it than love. No, friend. Listen, marriage, home, church. We try to make it more because we don't have that love. We try to make it, oh, it's got to be commitment. It's got, yeah, all that's part of it. But you better have a love for them. You better love them. Hey, my mom's not perfect. My dad's not perfect. Your mom, dad, our parents, this church, this preacher, we're not perfect. Are y'all perfect parents? I know some of you. Y'all ain't perfect. By the way, we can see them all away. But boy, I tell you what, if you love somebody, I remember playing basketball. My mom hates sports. I love sports. I looked up, my mom's got a Civil War book reading it at the ball game. Crowds going, my band's playing, cheerleaders cheering. In the middle of this, people standing up going crazy. I look over, my mom's sitting there reading a Civil War book. I'm not kidding. At home at night, I said, Mom, honey, I know you love to read. Just don't come. But it meant a lot to me. You know why? Because I think she just did it because she loved me. She could care less. She said, you got a touchdown or something? I thought, she knew better than that. It's the love behind it. It's the love. Hey, preachers, I was learning it, brother. Also, I learned about Bible class. You may not be a great preacher. You may not be a great pastor. But if you love people, they'll put up with a whole lot. You see, if you love somebody, you might not be a great teacher. But boy, if you love them, man. Hey, look, I played elementary basketball for a Coach Dunn was his last name. He couldn't say my name hardly, and he couldn't say backboard. He'd say, Peyton, use the blackboard. He'd say, blackboard. But I loved him. You know why? Because he loved us. I could tell he loved us. Who else is going to put eight kids in the back of a Pinto and go to ball games? We hung our tennis shoes off of mirrors going down the road. I'm not kidding. Socks hanging out. I mean, it was crazy. I said, man, this man, he was always kind. He's tough on us, old school, hard on us. But boy, I tell you what he said. I said, yes, sir. I loved him because he loved us. He wasn't a great coach. He wasn't coach college basketball. He wasn't Roy Williams. Let me tell you something. He loved the kids. You see, love your parents. See, a lot of times, all kids, I tell people, you want to do a good, hey, you young people, you want to do something good for your mom and dad? Just tell them you love them. They will pass. First of all, they'll say this, what do you want? Amen. Danielle, come, Daddy, I love you. I said, well, how much is it, honey? Right? I tell you what, friend, love them. By the way, your mom and dad may be gone, you still love them. Number two, listen to them. Listen to them. Just say yes. They may not always be right, but listen to them. They know more than you know. Some of you, the parents who went on, hey, go back. Remember what they told you. Listen to them. Honor them. It don't mean that they're always doing everything, but you can listen to them. I see folks today, they won't even look you in the eyes. There's a little girl in K-4 here a couple years ago when she came, or I think she's K-4. I'd never met her before. Some of y'all know who this is. She looks at me. I've never met this kid. I'm the pastor administrator. I'm in a suit and tie. She looks at me and goes, 4 years old. I was like, yes, ma'am. Can I say something to you? A lot of us need to do this right here to our children. I feel like watching these people on TV riding on the street, I'm coming after you right here. Let me get a hold of you. How many of y'all know some people you could have in about 10 minutes, you'd fix a lot of trouble? Let me say this, learn from them. Sometimes you can learn from their mistakes. Learn from them. So my dad didn't do this or my mom didn't do that. Okay, do the opposite then. Learn from them. Honor them by learning from them. We know in the Word of God, it gives us accounts of dads and moms who, man, you look at it, man, they played favoritism. They did all kinds of things in the Word of God. They weren't always perfect parents in the Word of God. Absolutely not. In fact, some of them I want to look and say, man, ain't no wonder. I've been mad too. Learn from them. And let me say this as we close this morning. Honor your father and mother. And I wrote this down in a way, but I want you to make sure you get the Lord in this. Live for them as they live for the Lord. I mean, live for them as listen, many of you were taught about the Lord by your grandma or your grandpa or your mom or your dad or an aunt or an uncle or somebody that loves you. And they want to instill that into your life. We need this more than ever now. And I know they say millennials don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you something. I think millennials and young people still want to know that somebody loves them and cares for them and cares for their soul. I defy what this world says. They say, well, we can't reach them. I still think you can reach them. Hey, I still think we can give honor. We can still see God do something if we honor our moms and dads. But if we don't have that, let me say something to you. These messages won't mean anything. Some of you, the biggest frustrations in your life is because of the breakdown of this right here. You either dealing with them, or you have it, or you've done it. I think of the things in my life, some of the biggest problems I've ever had is because I didn't abide by this. I think of some of the brokenness I've had in my life is because I didn't listen to my mother or my father. I didn't honor what God says in His Word. And by the way, the Bible tells us to honor them. You can't get out of this. Whole society. How have society? Did you put them in college? Yeah, it's fine. Put them in secondary school and education? Absolutely, that's great, for sure. The Lord didn't say that on that sixth commandment, though, did He? He said, honor your father and your mother. See, that's a hard issue. If that doesn't get settled, if that doesn't get right, everything else starts to wane. Everything else is different. Everything else starts. I really believe, the Lord just really, I hope, give me an insight and help in my own personal life. I really believe this commandment here is way bigger than we want. We say, well, just honor your mom and dad. Say, yes, sir. It's way bigger than this. This is a huge thing, church, this morning, to honor your father and your mother. Let's all stand with every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to preach the message this morning. It's put on my heart. I thank these folks that have stayed. I pray you just